Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm going to be joined in a second here by Matt Moore of the Action Network. We had a great conversation yesterday that spilled over to a completely different subject, but one that I really, really enjoyed talking about. So what we're going to do, nothing really happened with the Lakers today. If you want more Lakers-specific stuff, listen to yesterday's show where we talked about gambling and how the season has gone thus far, and then use that to paint a picture of how we think the rest of the year is going to go. We're just going to throw now to the conversation that he and I had about ownership, about parity, about the league's coverage, and all that stuff, so enjoy that. You and I talked about before the year that I was a little skeptical about the NBA and ESPN and TNT's ability to market a league with actual parity, right? The NBA has liked to pretend there might be parity. Hey, maybe, you know, who knows where this might go. But this is a year where you actually did have several teams that could, and several fan bases that could talk themselves into, you know, their team being legitimate title contenders. And I was a little iffy about whether ESPN, TNT, the NBA itself knew how to market such a league. How do you feel that's gone to this point?
So it's been a disaster. It's been just a catastrophic failure, and everyone should feel bad about themselves, and several social media managers should be moved to other sports, in my opinion.
I swear to God, if you're using this as an opportunity to dump on Caruso, we're like dumping on this podcast.
No, I don't care about Caruso. That's the weird thing. I don't care about Caruso. I just don't. It's fine. I was talking to some casual fans in Chicago that were there for the weekend. They cared enough to come. That's a really good joke. They cared enough to come to All-Star Weekend because they were just like, yeah, our son loves it, and he thought it'd be fun. And like, they're not going to, they were going to Saturday night, and that was all they were going to. They couldn't afford tickets to Sunday. But they were from Florida, and so they were like Magic fans, and they were talking about how well, it's really just tough to be an NBA fan because like we had this year when it's supposed to be all this sort of parody, and they're like, we didn't think the Magic were going to be good, and they're like, but 3 weeks in, it was just the Lakers. It's just the Lakers again. Like, that's all anybody talks about. Like, that's all I see on social is like how good the Lakers are. And I was like, well, the Bucks had the best record. They're like, I never hear about them.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of that going around.
And the conversation about the Lakers isn't even like, it's not even fun conversation. Like, it doesn't necessarily celebrate how good the Lakers are. It's like, oh, well, can the Lakers be caught by the Clippers? Can the Lakers be caught by the Rockets? It's all this dramatized version of it I don't know if like it suits anybody. I don't know if anybody walks away from the national conversation saying like, yeah, that's fun. That's a fun topic.
I think I will start sending you stuff because I think there's been more positive regard than I think you probably noticed. Mm-hmm. There aren't storylines with the Lakers because there's no conflict. Like this is a key problem. Okay. If you build a story, a fictional story, mm-hmm. If you study it, it's always going to be like, you have to design a conflict. Like, the conflict is resolved, and then that's the ending of the story. Like, there's a denouement at the end, and that's the ending. And the problem is like, the conflict for the Lakers was, were they going to get Anthony Davis? And they got him, you know? And it's like, then it was like, are they going to be good? And they were good. And then happily ever after. In order for the league to be where it needs to be. And like, I will say though, I have taken to this year as in large part, I've said that because I did say this last year, there was going to have to be short-term losses for long-term gains. The league is going to have to start learning new stars. Mm-hmm. Wade's gone. You know, Carmelo's gone. He's in Portland, which is just about the same. LeBron is going to go for another 4 or 5 years because he can, but he's entering into an entirely different era from where he was from 2009 to 2014. Mm-hmm. Like, wildly different era. We have Giannis. There's Anthony Davis. Zion, Ja Morant, Luka, obviously. Trey is going to be a divisive guy. There are these stars that people have to learn. And in order for this is one thing I do believe, the best thing for the NBA would be playoff chaos. It's not going to happen because of the way that both basketball and a seven-game series are.
Yeah.
They really need, like, the best thing for the league would be, like, Bucks. I can't use Nuggets because we're in Denver, so, like, I just can't use them. Like, Bucks Thunder or Bucks Jazz or Bucks Grizzlies, right? Like, a wild matchup of an underdog team that came against the odds with a superstar player that ever, like the Pelicans, like Zion just annihilates everybody. That would be an incredible story. It would be dramatic. It would put a new face of the league, even if Giannis won, all of these things. It would be great. But the TV executives would just be ripping their hair out. Yeah. They would be going insane. If they miss out on the Lakers' money, you're talking about like a significant drop in BRI. But the long-term game would be good because one of the biggest problems the league has is like you just there's no reason for you to be invested if you're like even if you're a Mavericks fan this season. Like the Mavericks right now are 33-22.
But like no
33.
I'm gonna push back on this a little bit because like no Mavericks fan went into this year thinking they were gonna win a championship.
Right. But here's the thing. If you're not a Mavericks fan, but you kind of like him or you're from Dallas, like okay. Specifically, you're from Texas or you moved there. You're a transplant without a team. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like you moved there from Alabama.
According okay? to you don't Reddit, have an NBA that would be me.
Right. Like you move there from out of town. Okay. The thing that draws people in is, do they have a chance to win? Like right. I've learned this. This is the only thing the NBA Twitter sphere likes to talk about, like, but they're a really fun team and they're so much fun to watch and they're so good. Casual fans want to know if they can win. Mm-hmm. That's what's fun about being a fan is seeing your team win. And if the only teams that can win are in LA, then the rest of the country is just like, why am I bothering? Like, why am I sitting through 82 games and the playoffs? Like, what am I doing?
Let's take a quick second here to pay a couple bills. Today's show is brought to you in part by the Arizona Board of Tourism. We've been talking about them for quite some time, and I'm going to keep talking about them until we get them the right kind of support that they have given us. And if you head over to visitarizona.com/springtraining, again, that's visitarizona.com/springtraining, you can plan your trip. You can see which teams are playing when out there. You can see what other amenities that the state has to offer for you that better fit. If you aren't going out there for a baseball vacation, they have you covered for any other kind of vacation you might be looking for, any length of vacation that you might be looking for. So start planning your trip. Again, that's visitarizona.com/springtraining. They got hiking, biking, restaurants, bars, music, obviously the baseball. Everything. You got it covered out there. So that's visitarizona.com/springtraining. Visitarizona.com/springtraining. I also, though, like part of this is where I think if I was an NBA person, if I worked for the league, I'd be annoyed at the coverage that we get from ESPN and TNT. Is that like the loudest platforms are out here telling you that no. Unless you are a Lakers, Clippers, or Bucks fan, you don't have a chance. And even then, the Bucks, like, they're going to talk about once every, like, blue moon.
And they're going to talk about Giannis leaving in free agency for Golden State.
Right. So I think, like, that to me, that has stuck out to me. And look, I'm somebody, this is locked on Lakers. I personally sent out a couple fun tweets about Giannis's L.A. comment with his brothers, and then the handshake between him and Anthony Davis. Like that's all fun to me, but like if you're an actual corporate partner at the level that TNT and ESPN is at, like you have a duty to serve to the league, and I don't think they've done their service to this point. But I really don't.
But to them they won't want that because they're like if Giannis goes to LA. We'll get bigger ratings because everything in LA makes more money, and there's so many.
It's so immediate, though. Like, why can't
I know?
Why can't they look at the NFL where the Green Bay Packers are a giant draw?
I know.
That's like a 15-minute drive away from where the Milwaukee Bucks play.
I know. This is my thing. So, like, I'm not saying, like, I want to be clear because this is a Lakers podcast. I don't think, like, the good thing for the league would be for the Lakers to be bad. Like, the league needs the Bucks and the Knicks to be good. Like, The league needs these markets to be good. It would be good if the Lakers won a title like every 5 years. I'd be fine if the Lakers won a title every 5 years.
Same.
But the problem is, like, when they're in the room and especially, like, I'll be honest, like, the Anthony Davis stuff hurts us a little bit too. Like, there is – I have received feedback from the non-NBA people in my life where they say, like, if I was an NBA fan, I would be really hesitant to want to be a fan because my star player is just going to get poached by the Lakers in a weird trade demand that was public and ugly. Like, he's just going to turn on us to go join the Lakers. I'm just, like, waiting for him to leave. Like, that's like a – like. That's a hard sell. And, like, I'll put it even more personal terms. My kid's starting to get into basketball, my 8-year-old. Mm-hmm. He's finally starting to get into basketball. He's like, can I watch games with you? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. Like, I will – if you have questions, ask. We'll sit and we'll watch this game.
Can I double check your answers before you pass them on to your son? I'm just looking out for his best interest.
Sure. He did ask me, he was like, who's that? And I was like, oh, that's Chris Paul. It's the point god. And he was like, he's a god? And I was like, well, he's not the god. He's a god.
No, the god, like T-H-R, you know? Yeah.
Right. So anyway, I have to be really cautious with him about him picking a team.
Yeah.
You know, like the Nuggets are probably safe because I don't think Joker's ever going to be like, I want to go to LA and be in commercials. Like, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think there's anything for Joker in LA. Right. But like, if MPJ becomes the best player on the, like, this is a real thing. If Michael Porter Jr. becomes the best player on the Nuggets, he's leaving in 8 years. Mm-hmm. That's going to happen. Like, how do I tell my son to get invested in a team where the best player is going to leave in 8 years because he thinks the weather's nicer. Like, that's a fundamental problem. And so again, a lot of this just gets back into, the Lakers can be dominant and they can be the Cowboys of the NBA, but they can't be the Lakers because, like, everything is Lakers, everything all the time. The social media feeds, if the Lakers are on, like, all these social media feeds are just, it's just a never ending stream of highlights. It's just Lakers stuff. And this has always been a thing where, like, fans will watch highlights on SportsCenter of back when SportsCenter, you know, when that was more watched. I still watch it now because Scott Van Pelt's awesome. Mm-hmm. But like, this has always been a thing of like, the Lakers would play somebody and then you would just see this like, oh, here's a Laker. Here's Kobe doing this. Here's Shaq again.
Oh, oh, they lost.
Lamar Odom there. What an incredible play. Lakers lose 97-101.
Yeah.
Like,
now they even cropped off the scores on highlights.
Yeah. Like, so like all this stuff kind of feeds into it. And again, I'm not saying that we had this conversation earlier. You and I have done this podcast where I've asked a question of like, maybe it is better for the Lakers just to be the Globetrotters of the NBA, but we can't be in the middle where it's like, oh no, everybody can win a title, but not really. We got to go one way or the other. Like, either this is just going to be like the Lakers and the Celtics are just going to win every title and the Warriors can get a few, or we actually have to have like some sort of scenario where it changes. But the only way that's going to happen is like a team's got to be better. Like, it would be really good for the league if the Bucks won the title. Mm-hmm. The Bucks winning the title would be a really good thing for the league. You can make an argument about using taxpayer funds for the arena. You can make an argument about how they duck the luxury tax with Brogdon. You can make an argument on all these things. But a team rebuilding from the bottom with aggressive new ownership, pushing for a new arena, funding a lot into the backbone of the organization in terms of tech and analytics, building a team around their star player to the best of their ability, hiring a good coach, and winning in one of these cities will be really good for it. If the Lakers win, it's really good for LA. It's a good story, especially this year with all the tragedy. It's a fulfillment of LeBron. It puts him on another level. There's a meaningful difference between four titles and three titles, more so than it's better to, like, let me put it this way. Four is greater than three to a degree that is greater than two being greater than one. Like, three is better than two, meaningfully. Two is not meaningfully better than one. Then it's just like, all right, you have two titles, you won more than one, that's good. But again, the three, now you're into like, all right, you're into that range of like of magic, etc. When you win four, now you're touching upon like the real all time greats. You win five, you're up at Duncan and Kobe. And then six is obviously Jordan. Like, that's the level that LeBron's chasing. So, like, that's good for him. Like, there are lots of benefits to the Lakers winning this year, which I think kind of they will, even though the Bucks should win. But I'm just not sure that it's best for the long-term growth of the league, because a lot of it is like the NBA has got to start getting ready for what happens after LeBron. Like, that has to be part of the conversation, is what are we going to do after he's gone?
Yeah, I feel like part of the math here also has to be that small-time owners have to stop thinking small-time.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like that I agree with.
The league is, I think at this point, the average value of an NBA franchise is over $2 billion at this point. Like, I don't need to hear anything else about luxury taxes from this point on. And you mentioned Milwaukee and Malcolm Brogdon. They're really good right now. They would be juggernauts with Brogdon, and they passed up on that. And that's something that, like, for me as a Laker fan, that's something I know that the Lakers would never do. That's not – if they have the opportunity to be juggernauts, they have historically taken the opportunity to be juggernauts. Now, you know, sometimes Kobe kicks Shaq out of the city, or Shaq fats himself out of the city, whatever, however you want to look at that situation. Sometimes stuff like that happens, but like we can say how it would be bad for the league for the Lakers to win the championship and then for Giannis to get frustrated in Milwaukee, but also Giannis getting frustrated in Milwaukee has a lot to do with the fact that their owner cheaped out. And I think that needs to be pointed out too.
Okay, I think that's a little overrated, because like I think people took one comment from Giannis and we're extrapolating it into he's frustrated with the ownership group.
No.
Like they've still paid a lot of money to build a really great team around him. But like I agree with your point centrally, which is like I will say this too. Like, we need to just get rid of the luxury tax.
I like that. We're gonna keep talking about that, but after a couple words from our sponsors.
The luxury tax was designed to try and get the Lakers not to do this, and it just doesn't work because they make too much money anyway.
Right.
Like, it's not like the Lakers and the Bucks make the same amount of money and have the same profit margin, and the Lakers are just like, well, we're willing to take a loss. That's how much we want to win. The Lakers are like, no, we'll pay your tax. We're still going to make 15 times what you're going to make. Like, yeah. The economics just don't work.
Yeah, right? either set the luxury tax way higher than it's actually set at, or get rid of it altogether.
Right. And I don't think you should do that. Like, I think it's fine. We just get rid of it and just be like, no, like if you're willing to pay to keep your team together, mm-hmm. pay to keep your team together, you know, like if you've got bird rights, you got the opportunity to, I don't know what the tax does for you. Like the tax is only like, if we really look at it, the tax is only restricting teams that feel like they need to do these things for financial reasons. Now, the counter to that is everyone goes like, but you don't need to do that. You're making so much money. And even people that have worked internally in the league have told me like, no, like they're still clearing profit. Like,
yeah,
they should just be okay with making less.
Yeah.
And I agree with that. I do think that talking to one of the people on the business side, this point was made to me and it is not lost on me. In those situations, there is a level of resentment for the current system from a financial competition sense. So follow me on this. Like, if you look at it from the business perspective, all right, and these teams are treated as businesses now, they're no longer toys. It was a better time when they were treated as toys, but they no longer are. They're businesses. Like, the Buss family's business is the Lakers, mm-hmm. right? If you're in a small market and you're like, okay, look, I could pay the luxury tax on this player and keep this really good team together. And I'm going to squeeze out, let's say I'm going to make $15 million versus I'm going to make $30 million, whatever it is. Okay. $30 million, $50 million, whatever. The Lakers are going to make $100 million no matter what. Why am I going to opt to make significantly less when I'm already at such a disadvantage to them in business? Like, there is a legitimate, like, they are competitors in the business sense too. I think that's stupid too, because I'm just like, you're never going to make as much money as them. Stop it. The Lakers. Stop it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not going to buy this brand new mic for myself because I'm not going to make as much money as Bill Simmons this year. Shit.
Right. Right.
That doesn't make any sense.
There are all sorts of ways that this lineup is, this thought is flawed. But I do think that I always like, I like to believe that it's more than just cheapness, but every answer I get from everybody is always like, no, it's just cheapness. I always want to be like, well, it's like, is it just really that difficult to kind of like financially like handle this? And the answer is always like, no, it's just cheapness.
Yeah. Like, I mean, just cheap. Different sport, obviously, but we just saw it with Boston sending Mookie Betts to the Dodgers.
Yeah. And I mean, look, I'll say this too. Like, you were able to say that the Lakers will never be in that situation. If the Lakers were in that situation, if they weren't making as much money, like, let's say the league put a cap on a very Bernie Sanders type idea. Like, let's put it like a cap on how much money any team can take in revenue, and the rest of it's all going to the league. Now, this would never happen.
Okay? Yeah.
Like Steve Ballmer will put on face paint, like war paint, and like, like Mad Max style.
The Clippers and Lakers would finally like see eye to eye on something.
With like a chainsaw. Like Ballmer would have a chainsaw. It would be a post-apocalyptic battle for him. Okay.
Yeah. Lawrence Frank just threw a trident.
Right. But let's imagine there was a scenario in which the Lakers actually had to face the same kind of differential. That they weren't just going to make as much as they needed to. Like, the Lakers are probably making that decision as well. So this is something that you should keep in mind when you're arguing these things, is you're like, the Lakers would never do that. The Lakers are never going to be faced with these choices. They're going to make enough money no matter what. Like, not enough. They're going to make a disgusting amount of money no matter what. Every NBA owner wants to make a disgusting amount of money. That's the differential. Now, it's fine to say that the other teams should like buck up because you chose to own a team in Milwaukee. I'm fine with that. That's fine. That's legit. But like, we can't act like the Lakers are ethically superior when they're not faced with the same decision.
I guess. Cause that's quite the counterpoint to just kind of toss aside, right? Like, is it Mark Lazary?
No,
Mark
Lazary, because, like, the Mark Lazary is the Lakers are just going to make who owns so the Bucks, much right? It doesn't matter. Like, the Lakers are going to make so – it's like what we're saying with the players. This is, I think, something that's actually really fascinating. But Mark Lazary,
like, if he actually cared about this, then he should have approached the Buss family and bought the Lakers from the Buss family.
Right.
Like, if it's just a business thing, then actually make the gamble. Take the gamble and make that investment.
Sure. I just think that we can't sit there and be like, oh, the Lakers are so like ethically good when, like, again, like, they just don't face the same kind of decision. Yeah. Like, they just make, because one of my favorite reports was before the lockout, all the stuff was coming out from the NBA, or is during the lockout, about the evaluations and how much money each team had made. The Clippers every year on those Forbes evaluations and in the revenue projections were always like top five, despite Sterling owning them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was stunning. It was just insane. Like, during this last, like, before last year, in that 3-year stretch where the Lakers were literally like topping their worst record in franchise history every season. You remember those days?
Mm-hmm. No,
they were still, they were still making like just a disgusting amount of money.
Yeah.
And again,
I mean, hell, the show grew during that time.
What?
I'm saying, like another example of that is, like, this show grew during that time.
Yeah. So, like, a lot of this is just, like, this is the way that it's always going to be, but you have to just kind of acknowledge that the Lakers are never going to have to make a hard choice about their cap, about their spending. Now, I'm fine with saying, like, these other things are not hard choices. These are billionaires. They can take a $20 million loss. Shut up to me about this.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
I mean, I was also going to point out that you're talking about, like, a quote unquote hard choice for, well, I guess Mark Cuban. Well, Tillman, is it? No, Tillman Fertitta. Yeah. A hard choice for Tillman Fertitta is not on the same level as a hard choice for the Lakers, but Fertitta, I think, out-earns or is worth a lot more than the Buss family.
Right, so then the question becomes, like, should these teams, like, just be toys? But the problem is, like, the NBA is too successful. Like, it makes, like, these teams make too much money.
Right.
Right? So, like, once they start making so much money, then the spending goes up to try and make more. Again, I'm not defending, like, the billionaires here. I'm just not. Like, that's just not a thing I'm going to do. The point I'm just trying to get to is nobody is superior here. No, like, nobody is going out there being like, I will spend whatever in this market, I will pay the luxury tax. I will take a $50 million. Nobody's like, I'll take the $50 million loss to win a title. Nobody's doing that.
Yeah.
The Lakers aren't doing that. That's not the choice that they've been presented. Now, if they do it sometime, then I will be glad to give them credit for doing so. But like they would have to spend, like, I don't think that's even remotely possible. Like Kuzma and Caruso would have to get maxed. Like, I don't know how that goes, right?
Yeah.
So it's not really possible. And really, this gets into the whole concept of like, well, you're a poverty franchise, which is like that became popular under the Warriors' reign of terror on the league of like poverty franchises. When I don't think it's wrong to say this, but you need to at least acknowledge it's going to be harder for you. Like, yeah, you're like, yeah, it's not easy for you. It's easy for us. We're the Lakers. We get to spend as much as we want and still make money. But if you want to compete with the Lakers, you're going to have to outspend us. Sorry.
Well, I don't. See, I just disagree. It's not a matter of outspending. It's about, now, I will grant
not
you...
Not outspending, but you're going to have to admit that, you're going to have to accept that you're not going to make as much money as us.
Yeah, there's a smaller margin for error. Like that, I'd be stupid not to acknowledge that. But that doesn't mean that, like, I therefore have to always empathize when a small market team loses a superstar because they cheaped out. Like,
We've talked a lot about
Anthony Davis, and like New Orleans didn't really do much to keep him there. Like they were sharing a physical medical staff with the Saints. This is two completely different sports.
Have me back on, and we'll talk about this entire thing that you have with that. Like we could do a whole episode on that entire thing. My only point here is to say, I don't think you need to empathize with them. But I'm big into the idea of these causal psychological effects that we have. Mm-hmm. Like I was arguing with somebody about this today, because like there's a player that everyone loves because he's really good at one thing. And I'm like, we tend to exaggerate these other things because when we have positive feelings about something, we accentuate all the things around them when those other things really aren't on par. And the same is true for contrasts, where for you, you look at like a team like the Bucks or the Pelicans or all these small market teams, and you're like, you can do this. You have the money. Like, yeah, you don't have as much as the Lakers. You're still billionaires. Mm-hmm. Suck it up and pay the money. Pay the tax. Stop complaining to me otherwise. And that's fine. But what you can't do is you can't then turn around and think that the Lakers like make that same choice or have a tough road or don't. Like, you have to at least be able to be like, yeah, sorry, I'm a fan of the team that doesn't have to worry about it. We have a cheat code because we're from Los Angeles and Los Angeles is awesome. Fine. Like, raise your city up. Sorry. That's okay. Like, that's fine. But what we can't do is I do object when it gets in this idea of like, well, the Lakers do things the right way. And it's like, no, the Lakers get to do things the right way because no matter what, they're going to
get
paid.
You know what show you're on? People hate me in this city or in that city now because I do point out when they do screw things up. You know,
yeah, like I really admire you about that. I think one of the things is key is like the only reason I think this conversation really matters for Lakers fans is you should appreciate like your situation.
Yeah,
like you're really blessed to be able to root for a team that can pay whatever it needs to, that can always make the quote unquote hard decision and come out fine.
Mm-hmm.
That
they're special even in large markets.
Be able to get Anthony Davis. Do what?
They're special even in large markets because like the Clippers are technically in the same market, but they aren't the same team. The Bulls are in a large market, but you know, Bulls fans would trade places with Laker fans. I would imagine any time Knicks fans too.
Like I was talking about like being in Chicago, it's a crime that city that the Bulls are not better.
Yeah.
Like I've been on this. I've said this on radio shows a lot lately when I'm asked about the Knicks. Like, this is my go-to line about the Knicks. And I'm like, look, I'm not going to talk about the new regime or the new GM or whatever. Like, Dolan's still there.
Right.
And until Adam Silver takes the same approach that he took with the Sixers, which was out of line, and intercedes with the worst owner in professional sports, outside of maybe Dan Snyder, this is going to continue.
Mm-hmm.
There's no excuse for the Knicks. There's no excuse for the Reinsdorfs. Like, there's no excuse for the Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
The Bulls that city loves basketball. It was so cool being in a city that like all weekend long, you felt it like hype about the NBA. Right. And like, that's not just Jordan. It's a good city for basketball.
Yeah.
It's got a history of raising guys up that are in the league. And it is a crime that it is not better. Like, and I'll say this to do, like if the Lakers got sold and they fell into the same kind of thing, like the league should intercede there too. There are certain teams that should not be allowed. We're heading in that
direction with Fertitta. Like, the league should probably consider, like, the league should probably consider, oh shit, who did we just allow to buy a team?
Yeah, go see if Les Alexander is just like, are you sure you don't want the team back, Les? Because Les was great. That's right. Part of it is like, Les was great. And like, I think you're totally justified in all the criticisms that you've had for the Buss family and how they've done things. And certainly, like, that stretch for the last 4 years under the last few years were terrible before Jeannie took over. But, like, that stretch doesn't even begin to touch what we've seen from Chicago and New York over the last 20 years. Like, you're still like the Buss family, at least on some, like, most specifically the Bulls, I think, are the best example of this. The Knicks try to spend and fail. The Bulls don't try hard enough to spend. The Lakers are like, no, like, we have an advantage. We can spend. Let's spend. And there's something to really be said for that. Like, there is real value in that. Even if I'm aware that they can because they make so much. They still make that, like, they don't pocket the extra. The Lakers could go cheap. They could be like, no, we got LeBron. We're going to play at the cap. We're not going to pay the luxury tax. We'll make the playoffs. We'll be super popular. And they could be fine, but that's not enough for them. Like, they do set the bar at championships. They are willing to, like, they're willing to make, like, I don't know the exact figures. They're willing to make $100 million in revenue versus $500 million in revenue. Good for them. That's good.
Yeah. No, I mean, I have my gripes with the Lakers, but overall, it's nice not to be the Knicks, and it's nice not to be the Bulls. And for the majority of my life, it's been nice not to be the Clippers. I'm fascinated to see where Ballmer takes the Clippers from this point on. Like, that to me is the biggest threat to the Lakers than anything else in the league, is this super smart, genius billionaire guy, and is super competitive, is now in the same market with you and has already started to try to erode the youth presence that the city has with both franchises. Like, that's fascinating to me. It's going to be interesting to watch that happen. But yeah, man, I'm probably going to have to break this up into two parts. This was a lot of fun.
Oh, don't give him two episodes of me, man. Don't do that.
I'm doing it. I'm doing it. Either on this or on my Patreon, whatever, either way. But yeah, they're getting two episodes of Matt Moore. This was a lot of fun. I appreciate this, man. I'm walking away from this from like a nice visit to the psychiatrist. This was a lot of fun. Thank you very much for hopping on.
Thanks for having me, man.
Anytime. So that's Matt Moore of the Action Network. Matt, do you have anything that you want to plug before we get out of here?
Yeah, I'm doing playoff picture, baby, season, baby. If you want to keep an eye on who the Lakers are going to play, how those standings are going to wind up, I've got looks at strength of schedule, win profiles, magic numbers, all that stuff, all going to be up on Action Network this week. I got something up on the West 8 seed, which is of particular note to Lakers fans, so you can know whether you're going to face Dame or John Morant or Zion Williamson or DeMar DeRozan, which of those guys you're going to play. And you can catch all my coverage at ActionNetwork.com and download our app because it's awesome.
It is really good. All the information there at the Action Network is really, really good. So check that out. You can follow Matt at HP Basketball on Twitter. And yeah, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. We'll talk to you tomorrow.